Okay, so this talk will be based on these papers which I wrote with Andrei Starinets and David Sahakyan this year. Now let me start by saying that it's very natural to apply string theory, which is a theory of quantum gravity, to study black holes. So for BPS black holes, we can do all sorts of things. We can sometimes count microstates. We can even do it beyond the leading order in charges, as we have heard in the past 2 weeks. We can also try to understand high derivative corrections to GR, and can do in general many interesting things. And today I want to ask a question, whether we can do something with non-BPS finite temperature black holes as well. So the model which I will be mostly concerned with is the Euclidean SL2 module 1 coset, which I will sometimes call SIGAR. The target space metric of this theory is indeed that of the SIGAR, and there is also dilaton, which is given by this formula, and which is linear if you go far from the tip. The curvature corrections are controlled by the level k, and when k is large, the curvature corrections are small and the theory can be analyzed semi-classically. Yeah, one thing that I should mention about this model is that it is really a black hole, a Euclidean black hole in 2 dimensions, and it can be also used to construct various black brains in high dimensions. Now, as I said, even though only at large k, you can trust the metric and study this model semi-classically, since it's an exact CFT, it can be really studied at any k, and alpha prime corrections under control. And I will consider the n equals 2 version of this theory, so that there will be space-time supersymmetry, which can be broken by finite temperature in space-time. Yeah, another interesting thing is that strings in the backgrounds that I'm going to talk about will have holographically dual theories, which are non-gravitational, in a similar sense as n equals 4 superannulus is holographically dual to string theory in the near horizon geometry of the nucleus brain, of D3 brains. So here's the plan for the rest of the talk. I'll discuss 2 examples of this coset and string theory, which will be important in what I'm going to say. And one example is just NS5 brains in flat space, a stack of NS5 brains sitting on the top of each other. And then another example is a conifold. But then I'll talk about the thermodynamics of these systems, which is really similar. And I'll remind you that these things have Hagedorn density of states, and if you're more careful, you can see that they actually have negative specific heat. Then I'll comment on the black hole string correspondence in this context. And then I'll talk about the hydrodynamics of these systems. To motivate, I'll also briefly review the more familiar hydrodynamics of n equals 4 superannulus. And at the end, I'll summarize and conclude. Okay, let me describe this first example for you. So this first example is just a little string theory, which can be defined as a theory of the five brains, of k and the five brains sitting on top of each other, and the limit of vanishing asymptotic string coupling. This theory is a non-gravitational theory, but even though it's non-gravitational, it's non-local. There is an alternative definition which involves taking string theory, considering string theory on a singular collabial, also taking string coupling to zero. At lower energies, this alternative definition is related to the first one by T-duality. At lower energies, this little string theory almost reduces to six-dimensional super n mils, or 2,0 superconformal field theory, depending. Yeah, essentially C2 mod the n. Well, you can study other singularities, not necessarily C2 mod the n. But that would be the simplest example. You take the string coupling to zero. Yeah. So this little string theory has string theory. You should think of this little string theory as some theory of open strings, in some sense similar to n equals 4 super n mils. And it has a closed string theory dual, living on the near horizon geometry of NF5 brains. And the background for this closed string theory dual is just a product of six-dimensional Minkowski space, linear dualton theory, and SU2 Bezeman-Witten model. There is one problem with this theory, namely the linear dualton direction is not cut off and strings are free to probe the region of strong coupling, so you can't really compute much. But you can go around this and consider so-called double scalar limit of little string theory, which involves separating the five brains in the T-dual language, deforming singular collabial, and then sending the separation deformation parameter to zero together with the string coupling in a coherent manner. This little string theory in double scalar limit also has a holographic dual, which is related to the previous one, the previous transparency. No. Remember, before you separated the brains, you started with six-dimensional space, linear dualton and SU2, and then the U1 theory decouples from SU2, combines with linear dualton, and forms the cigar here. And what is left out of SU2 is just a pro-fermionic theory.
Is this different from exciting the, making it non-extremal?
Yeah. I'll talk about this non-extremal thing on the next. It's different. Well, I'm going to talk about this.
Yeah,
here is the second example that you mentioned, and this is essentially another way of avoiding this strong coupling problem. Instead of separating these brains, we keep them on top of each other, but we consider a system at finite temperature. And
R is greater than R
naught. Yeah. And the metric and the dualton for this theory, again by these formulas, and there is a horizon at R equals to R naught, and the energy density is this quantity proportional to mu, which is proportional to R naught squared over G string squared. Now we can take a near horizon geometry.
Okay, so I should think about that as that's the energy above extra.
Yeah. Now we can take new horizon geometry. So we send R0 to 0, we send R to 0, and we also send the asymptotic string coupling to 0, keeping the energy, the extremality fixed. And we also do Euclidean rotation. So after we do that, we get the cigar metric and the atom. Essentially, we get this SL2 Modi 1 theory. In addition, we get five-dimensional Minkowski space and SU2 Resmin-Witten model. So this is manifestly different from. Yeah, you have to orbifold by ZK to impose the integrality of charges. Yeah. Well, you want to have integral R charges. And that's what the orbifold does for you. Now, of course, this geometric description is only good seen classically when K goes to infinity. But since it's an exact CFT, we actually have an exact CFT description of a finite temperature system.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay, so, but in this double scale little string theory, so remind me, what did you have in the double scale?
Well, in the double scale, you had R5, 1 here, this factor, and the parafermions.
SU2 mod. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And that had to be
there.
So
you Now, the second example involves type 2 string theory on R3, 1 times singular Calabi-Yau 3 fold, which is taken to be a Kony fold in this case. And it's dual to string theory on R3, 1 times R5 times the circle. And I'll be interested in the compactification of this background to time cross T3. So I'll be interested in this in non-critical string theory living on this background. And the central charge of the slope of the linear dualton here is set by requiring this whole theory to be critical, and this corresponds to k equals 1 in this language. Now, we can do two things with this background. We can either form a black hole, Euclidean black hole here, or you can resolve it by considering the cigar in R5 cross Swan directions. And this will appear later, both of these deformations. Now, there is a little remark I want to make, that there is a general duality between string theory on a singular Calabi-Yau and non-critical string theories of this type. But that is not going to be important in my talk. Okay, now I want to talk about the thermodynamics of these systems. And as I said, the thermodynamics of little string theory of this first example and thermodynamics of the second example are almost the same. So we are considering string theory, which involves the cigar, and then some CFT, which can be compact or non-compact, and with central charge chosen to make the whole string theory critical. Well, let's first talk about gravity. So the absence of conical singularity at cycle zero implies that tau is two-pi periodic. Tau is the Euclidean temporal direction. So that fixes inverse Hawking temperature of the system to be proportional to square root of k. And it's important to note that it's independent of the energy density. So the energy density controls the coupling at the tip of the cigar by this formula. Now the statement that temperature is independent of the energy density implies that the entropy is proportional to the energy, with beta H being the square root of k. Or in other words, the system has Hagedorn density of states. So it's similar to string theory in flat space. But of course, in flat space, there is no k entering beta Hagedorn. Now, when string loop corrections are included, the Hagedorn density of states can get modified by a power-like factor. And this modification leads to the following relation between the temperature and the energy. Yeah, one thing I want you to remember is that the Hagedorn temperature of black hole is different from the Hagedorn temperature of perturbative strings. So Hagedorn temperature is the same as Hawking temperature for black hole. So Hagedorn temperature of black hole is given by this first formula. And Hagedorn temperature of perturbative strings in this background is given by this. So Hagedorn temperature of perturbative strings is always greater than Hagedorn temperature of black hole, except at k equals 1 point. Now let me write down these formulas somewhere. Okay, now this alpha, which enters the density of states for the black hole, can be determined by one loop calculation. Basically, when this alpha is included, the free energy should be proportional to logarithm of energy. And that's what we can observe by computing the free energy at one loop in string theory. The free energy at genus zero vanishes, and the one loop answer is indeed proportional to log energy. Well, log energy comes from the fact that the linear dilaton direction is cut off, and the size of the linear dilaton direction is now proportional to log energy. And one important thing that this calculation gives is that alpha plus one is negative. So the system has no specific hit. Well, let me show you an example of this calculation. So there is some formula. To compute the alpha, you need to compute this one loop integral, which can be done. And you get some value of alpha for this theory. Well, you actually know how it behaves both at the well, it yeah, this is a supersymmetric theory. If you had so it has a power law. It basically behaves like 1 or tau 2 to 3 halves.
Right.
Yeah, the exponential cancels. If it were not a supersymmetric theory, then you would have problems. And the tau 2 goes to 0, you can...
So you're integrating on the strip.
Yeah.
So that's what that's like. Okay. So this expression here is...
Well, this is, no, this expression is an integral of the fundamental domain.
Okay, so
but you can bring it to the integral with the strip.
Yeah, yeah. But all you need to check on this one.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but the temperature is fixed. The temperature. Well, actually, for this particular theory, the temperature is equal to the temperature, the Hagen temperature for primitive strings. So the temperature is proportional to square root of k in these things, as I mentioned a couple transparencies ago. So for the cigar, the temperature is determined by the requirement that the metric is non-singular. So the inverse temperature is proportional to square root of k. But this particular theory is that k equals 1. So the temperature, the Hawking temperature of black hole, Hagedorn temperature of black hole is equal to the Hagedorn temperature of perturbative string.
So for things
you
should
expect that if you go above the Hagedorn temperature, the potential function is like that. Yeah. So you have some convergence only in the
Yeah. But that
integral computes the free energy for the black hole, not for the string. So that free energy, that integral gives you the one loop value of free energy in the black hole background. And from there, you can read this alpha coefficient, which appears in the density of states for the black hole. Now, as far as strings are concerned, I actually know how density of strings behave in this background. And from there, in principle, you can estimate the behavior of this integral as beta goes to beta Hagedorn. And indeed, as beta goes to beta Hagedorn, this integral behaves like beta minus beta Hagedorn to some power, some positive power, plus a constant. And this constant is what we are calculating here.
Can I ask, if you get this cigar by just separating your fibers, where does the excess energy come from? When you have a non-extremal solution,
mm-hmm.
you have this excess energy above externality, that's related to this, well, temperature is independent of that, and you get to. But where does excess energy come from if you get the cigar and just start separating the fine thing? The value of the dilaton of the chip would be related to this excess energy.
No, but when I'm talking about excess energy, I'm only talking about the thermal cigar.
Get that same cigar geometry just by separating the
fibers? Yeah, there the value of the dilaton at the tip of the cigar is controlled by the ratio of asymptotic string coupling and separation parameter. Now these two are different cigars. And
different cigars.
Yeah, these are different cigars. When I'm talking about the thermodynamics, I'm only talking about the thermal cigar. Okay, now all I really want you to remember from this thermodynamic story is this graph. So the rest, the details are not going to be important. So all I want you to remember is that the energy is related to the temperature by this formula, and minus alpha is a positive number. So this formula is similar to the one that one has for a usual Schwarzschild black hole in flat space. where energy is just proportional to 1 over T. And so what we have here is that classically temperature is fixed at the Hagedorn value, but if you include one loop correction, it can be a little bit higher. And as I said, the energy is proportional to 1 over G string squared. So the perturbative string analysis that we apply here is valid when the energies are very, very large. Any questions about this? Okay, so that's really the upshot of a few previous slides. Now I want to talk about black hole string correspondence in the system. So in flat space, if you look at the usual Schwarzschild solution, alpha prime corrections become important when the curvature near the horizon is large in string units. And so precisely at this point, the entropy of a black hole is equal to the entropy of a string up to some numerical factors. Now in this two-dimensional case, alpha prime corrections no longer depend on the mass of black hole. They are instead governed by this parameter k. And when k is equal to 1, a number of things happen. First of all, the Hagedorn temperature of black hole is equal to Hagedorn temperature of perturbative strings. Therefore, by definition, the leading terms in the entropies agree. Also, the stretch horizon is pushed to infinity, so that the position where the local temperature is equal to the Hagedorn temperature of perturbative strings, this point goes to infinity. And in addition, black holes disappear from the spectrum for k smaller than 1. So this is an example of a black hole string correspondence in the system. It's interesting to see that the leading terms in the entropies agree precisely when the temperature of the black hole is equal to Hagedorn temperature of perturbative strings. So one, for example, may ask a question whether...
We should be looking at these two formulas.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
And noticing that k equals 1.
Yeah. And one, for example, can ask a question, as Dave Kutasov asked, whether this is also going to be true for high-dimensional black holes. Whether if you know mass is a function of temperature, the leading terms in the entropies agree precisely when the temperature is equal to Hagedorn temperature for these things. But for this system, we can actually look at the sublinear terms. And the density of states for strings behaves like this, and the density of states for black hole behaves like this, with alpha in general being some number of order 1. So to avoid problems with the strong coupling, instead of considering r phi times rt times s1 times t3, we resolve this theory by introducing n equals 2 literal perturbation in this part. Or equivalently, we consider a cigar and set the coupling at the tip of the cigar to be very, very small. Now, when the mass of the black hole, we can create a black hole in this background. But it's only a good description when the mass of a black hole is very, very large compared to 1 over G string squared. Because then the linear dilaton direction is cut off by the thermal cigar way before this modification become important. On the other hand, for very, very small energies, we expect perturbative strings to be a better description, and we expect...
I'm sorry, I'm getting confused. Are you now adding a black hole to the cigar?
Yeah.
I see. So you're not thinking of the cigar as you put in the black hole.
Yeah.
Some background?
That's right. So I guess in the NS5, in the NS5 brain case, what you would do, you would separate this NS5 brain slightly, and then you would consider dumping a lot of energy into them. So when this energy is very, very large, this initial separation doesn't matter. So in this language, when M is very, very large compared to one of the string squared, then the cigar is a good description. This modification is unimportant. But on the other hand, when the energy is smaller, then we don't know how to deal with the cigar, so we expect the perturbative strings to be a good description. And so we expect the densities of state to interpolate between these two formulas as the energies vary. But this interpolation, unlike in the high-dimensional case, only happens in the sublevin term. The Levin term is the same.
Okay, so you're saying that in this case, the entropies to leading order agree, including the numerical factor.
Yeah.
That's the improvement of the fourth case. And again, the black hole entropy that you're comparing, is the black hole in the cigar, or is it the cigar itself?
Yeah, so you start with this background. This is not a black hole yet. It's just the cigar is a way to make the ground easier to treat it perturbatively, so that you don't have the strong coupling region.
This one
is not a Euclidean two-dimensional black hole. This is just a geometry you start with. Again, in the space-time interpretation, in the NS5 brain case, you would consider NS5 brains, which are slightly apart from each other. And then you consider this system at some finite temperature. And when this energy is very, very large, then the original modification of the geometry is not important. So you trust this cigar. So in this case, you just forget that you started with this geometry, and instead you could pretend that you considered RT cross RY plus 1 cross T3, and then you create a cigar in RT cross RY direction. Well, that looks like a cigar if you are far away from them.
And then you identify all of the things. You can't use the number of... Yeah, I thought you had a different layer. Right? And you can write that. Uh-huh. Don't you take a limit as the K5
and... Yeah, the shrink... So there is this limit. So you can shrink to zero and the Q4 ratio is
then what happens? Does the mechanism end up giving you a second model?
Well, it's not clear how it's measured from the point of view because it's not one tensor of the module on the GK.
But there's a supergravity solution. You might have a supergravity solution. You can identify such a limit. It goes like the U2 model. This is what I count that.
One plus.
It's the key dual.
Well, maybe it doesn't, because this solution will have singularity as well, singularity will not.
There are two stories, right, that you can consider. You can consider the full solution of supergravity, and that is not a cigar. But you also can consider this near horizon geometry, where you take the separation parameter to zero, you take R to zero, and you take the asymptotic thin couple to zero. That will give you a cigar. Okay, so now I want to talk about something very different from this first part. I'm going to talk about the hydrodynamics of the system, of a little string theory. And now, all I really want you to remember is this graph, energy versus temperature relation, which says that perturbative string theory is good when the energies are very, very large. Now, what is the hydrodynamics? Well, hydrodynamics is an effective theory which describes processes on scales which are much larger than some macroscopic scale in the system, but much smaller than the linear scale set usually by the volume. And from this inequality, we see that the hydrodynamics for Schwarzschild black hole would be problematic precisely because both the temperature and the size of the system are of the same order. But of course, instead of considering black hole, one can consider black brains. Now, the equations of hydrodynamics are conservation law and constitutive relations, where the constitutive relations are relations between the components of stress energy tensor which have spatial indices and the ones which have temporal indices. And the coefficients here are energy density, pressure, shear, and bulk viscosity. The T tilde is the perturbation above equilibrium value. Now, these are equations of linearized hydrodynamics, which are first order in velocities in the right-hand side. Well, you need, the Navier-Stokes equation is nonlinear, so you need to include high order terms. You would get linearized Navier-Stokes equation. Now, one can consider perturbations of this form. And these are the solutions of the hydrodynamic equations. And for simplicity, I choose this perturbation oriented along some direction, which I call the z direction. It's indeed very naturally comes from the physics, as you correctly described. But if you want to consider small perturbations, it's sufficient to consider linear, the linear approximation to the equations. Because if you want to study nonlinear effects, you can do so. But we are going to deal with a simple problem.
So that's an expansion. This is an expansion.
These are essentially the velocities.
Good.
So the right hand side is the first order in velocities.
Okay, so it's an expansion in T0i.
Yeah.
Which are considered small.
Yeah.
So there's non-linear terms which are talking about the second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And those are presumably there.
Yeah, if you want to consider nonlinear hydrodynamics, you in principle can do this, but for sufficient, well.
And they were there in ADS-DFT.
Yeah, but, yeah, of course. But you can study processes which involve very slow velocities. And so in these examples, these nonlinear terms you can drop. Now there are two modes in the equations which involve exciting different components of Strassmann tensor. One is the shear mode and the other is the sound mode. And the shear mode is purely dissipative mode. So omega is pure imaginary and lives in the lower complex plane. The sound mode is a solution of this equation that contains both the real and imaginary part. Now, these poles appear as, sorry.
Sorry, what's the
scheme? Oh, I'm going to tell this in this transparency. So the difference between the shear and the sound modes is the difference between the components of the Strassmann tensor that you excite. So you can see the dispersion relation in the poles of the retarded Green's function, which is of the Strassmann tensor. And in the hydrodynamic limit that I'm going to be concerned with, omega over t and q over t are much smaller than 1. Now, the shear mode, which is pure imaginary, a dissipative mode, involves exciting these components of the Strassmann tensor. Remember, this is the direction along which the excitation is oriented. And x, a is some perpendicular direction. And the sound mode involves exciting these components of the Strassmann tensor. And we don't expect any poles in this guy. So if we can compute the Green's functions, extract poles, we can find the kinetic coefficients, the shear and bulk viscosity.
And I would have thought, is that why the pole is imaginary?
Good. Here, in this particular case, of course, I consider it a case where the speed of sound is zero. So in this little string theory, you can compute the speed of sound just from the it's dp by dE, and you find out that it vanishes at the Hagedorn temperature. And all these calculations of Green's functions are valid precisely at the Hagedorn temperature. So the speed of sound is zero.
Why?
Well, because as you remember from that graph, at tree level, the temperature is fixed at Hagedorn temperature. But when you include one-loop corrections, you can go away from this value. Now, all these calculations are going to be tree-level.
Uh-huh. So your statement is that your little string is silent.
That's right. Now let me just briefly review the work that has been done on the hydrodynamics of non-extremal D3 brains or N equals 4 super N mills. Now, in real life gauge theories, so one can compute these Green functions in perturbation theory at weak coupling. But there are some indications that QCD at temperature slightly above the deconfinement temperature is really described by a strongly coupled theory. Now, let me remind you something you know very well. If you consider the three brains on the orbifold of this type at finite temperature, then you can write down the metric for the system. You can take the near horizon geometry, go to near horizon limit, and you can compute the entropy of black hole as a function of temperature. And so this entropy is proportional to the volume, also proportional to n squared and t cubed. Now you can also compute this entropy in the gauge theory in the brain, in the quiver theory, and it's just different from the black hole entropy by a numerical factor. Now, of course, this is the familiar three quarters that Gebser, Klebanov, and Piet observed. And you can ask why I'm telling you this. Well, because it's interesting to ask various questions about this result. For example, one can ask whether these three quarters are universal. We see that in the orbifold of n equals 4, these three quarters are going to appear. But the question is whether it's going to appear for other theories which have weakly coupled Lagrangian description and also holographic dual strong coupling. Also, it's an interesting question to ask what happens with these three quarters at finite n and whether this result survives for theories which are not orbifolds of n equals 4. And there are some latest calculations of energy as a function of temperature in QCD with fermions. And these latest calculations are interesting because they show that slightly above the deconfinement temperature, the theory is approximately conformal. But the energy and the energy over T4 is approximately constant. But this constant is different from the one that you expect from the Stefan-Boltzmann law back approximately three quarters. Well, it might not be three quarters, it might be 70%. But no, it's interesting to ask whether there is some universality in there. But more importantly, well, I think it's one of them is light, the other is heavy. Well, I'm not trying to. No, I'm not saying this. No, I'm not claiming you observe three quarters from here. But Of course. So these are Stefan Boltzmann law, and this is what you get slightly above the deconfinement temperature. But, well, okay, one may ask whether this difference is due to the fact that indeed slightly above the deconfinement temperature, a strongly coupled description is the right description. And also, people at Rieck would say that the hydrodynamics of quark gluon plasma is also better described by when you consider zero viscosity instead of considering very, very large viscosity, which you would get from the perturbative string theory, I mean, from perturbative gauge theory calculation. Therefore, it's interesting to. Well, this hydro... Well, okay, it's a good question, which I don't really know honest answer to. Well, that's true, that's true.
This caustic is rigorously defined in linearized approximation. Well, so if you want to do this, speak about this caustic in linearized.
Right, but I mean, because
yeah, I thought the question was whether a trick this linearized hydrodynamics is applicable.
As far as it's in some way equivalent, okay, you're asking whether the equation will.
But the question was about real. The question was about real clouds that you get a trick.
No, this is just the small deviation from the somatic.
Why is the red fireball supposed to be?
So you're asking why actually? Yeah. So you're questioning whether Rick actually really created the some equipment. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I saw people.
Okay, so that's an interesting question. Yeah, it would be interesting to really know the answer to it. Okay, let me just continue with this. So in n equals 4 super n mils, when the coupling is very, very small, you can compute viscosity or entropy ratio in perturbative gauge theory, and it's large. It's inversely proportional to coupling. Now, at large, Tuft coupling, one can use ADS-CFT to compute this ratio, and it turns out to be 1 over 4 pi. More precisely, h bar or 4 pi k beam. And also, alpha prime corrections to this ratio have been computed. And this ratio is lifted a little bit above 1 over 4 pi when lambda is finite. Now, Padwell here and Son and Cernets wrote a very nice paper where they conjectured that this 1 over 4 pi serves as a lower bound for all systems in nature. And it's definitely true for the systems which have gravity at all. Now, the natural question that you may ask is what happens when you include alpha prime corrections? No. I think these guys observed it for a number of systems, for a number of black brains in gravity, and they also derived the formula, membrane paradigm formula, which later Buchel used to prove that this ratio is 1 over 4 pi. Okay, now Now I'm going to talk about the hydrodynamics of little string theory, which is described by an exactly solvable CFT. Again, it involves KNS5 brains on top of each other at finite temperature. And you can have two complementary views on the hydrodynamics of the system. One is it's a property of finite temperature little string theory, which you think of as some theory of open strings. And you can also think of this as in the framework of membrane paradigm as property of some stretch horizon of NS5 brains. The interesting feature of the system is that it has negative specific heat, as I mentioned earlier. So it's very different from the asymptotical ADS examples which have been studied earlier, and more like Schwarzschild black holes in asymptotical flat space. And I should also mention that if we want to understand the real QCD, then we really do expect holographic dual to involve some kind of string theory, not just supergravity. Now, I think I'm going to skip a few transparencies explaining the details of calculation, and we'll just tell you the results. So what we do, we compute the Green's function, the two-point function of stress energy tensor, and we compute it by duality. We compute the two-point function of Graviton in this theory. And then we analytically continue to imaginary time. And we analyze the pole structure and determine the kinetic coefficients. Now, the way you compute these things is you write down vertex operator for a graviton in this background. It's this, and you compute the two-point function. So this is the vertex operator for the which corresponds to the scalar mode, the one which we don't expect any poles to appear in as far as hydrodynamics is concerned. And the vertex operator for the shear and sound modes are slightly more complicated. I'm going to show them. So the observables in this theory are labeled by two parameters, J and M, where J is the SL2 spin and M is the eigenvalue of J3. And M is related to the frequency, like so, and Q is an excitation along the Z direction, which I was talking about a few slides ago. Now, the physical state condition relates J to omega and Q. And in the hydrodynamic limit, it's omega over T and Q over T go to zero, and J also goes to zero. So here is the vertex operator, which is going to be used in the computation of shear and sound channel correlators. And this coefficient A is determined by the requirement to be physical. And computing the correlator is an exercise in CFT. And what we get is this. So this is the correlator for the shear mode. This prefactor comes because of the structure in the vertex operator, and this guy essentially comes from the SL2 mode D1 structure, from the fact that you're starting with the Wesselman-Witten model. Now, to analyze the pole structure in the hydrodynamic regime, you notice that this guy gives you two double poles. In both up and lower half planes, and also the prefactor cancels two of these poles. So you have two single poles, and then one of the gamma functions cancels one of the poles. So the endpoint is that what you have is a single hydrodynamic pole at omega equals to minus I q squared over 4 pi t. And in addition to this, you also have some poles of the omega equals plus minus q type. And so in the hydrodynamic regime, the pole structure of your correlator is this. In particular, 8 over s turns out to be 1 over pi exactly, in all the prime corrections to this result. Now, there are other poles in both upper and lower complex planes, and they signify instability, some all sorts of instabilities in this theory, because they're both in the lower complex plane and upper complex plane. And in fact, one remark I can make is that both the light-like poles and these poles have been encountered before in slightly different contexts of little string theory in double scaling limit, where they signify UVIR non-decoupling.
Even in
yeah.
Does that mean the violation of cosinus?
Well, none of them occurs in the hydrodynamic regime.
Even
for non-local theory, we expect causality. Okay, that's a good point. So away from the hydrodynamic regime, the theory is sick. Yeah. It's basically telling you that the hydrodynamic, well. Well, even before you go to hydrodynamics, you can compute this Green function. And even, I'm not even talking about hydrodynamics, it's just some analytic structure in the Green function. And. Well, that's, you know, this result is a rigorous result. So you get this you get these poles in the upper half plane in all possible ways. So this string computation is not the only computation that you can do. You can also compute the same correlator in supergravity by using the Lorentzian prescription of Sonnen-Starinets. And in supergravity, you also observe the same poles. So the fact that you have these poles is a rigorous result.
But aren't those poles
Okay, so you say for some omega is of order temperature, and the temperature is large. Yeah, but you know that in supergravity you reproduce the two-point function that you get from string theory. You get the same gamma functions that you have in the two-point function of string theory, right? And so you do see these things in supergravity. Okay, that's a good question. We can discuss it. But I'm done with the rest. Now, but even before you get to these problematic poles, even in hydrodynamics, you have poles, plus minus q poles, which are not consistent with the hydrodynamics equations. So you don't expect massless poles from the hydrodynamics. So that may lead to the question whether the hydrodynamic description of asymptotically flat black holes is problematic in general. That's true. Yeah, that's true. I don't know the answer to this question. You need to compute these things for asymptotically flat spacetimes. I'm not sure if this has been done. Okay. But it's interesting to observe that the hydrodynamic pole is there and no of the prime corrections to it happen. And in the case with Ramon-Ramon field, this value has been argued to be universal in gravity, but alpha prime corrections there would increase this ratio. Well, in this case, we observe that this ratio stays constant and nothing happens to it. Okay, I think I'm ready to conclude and summarize. So we studied black holes and black brains and string theory where alpha prime corrections are under control. We consider a black hole string condition, observe that entropy interpolates between the black hole and the tetrahedral string in the sublimit term. And we studied hydrodynamics and observed shear and sound modes. There are also problematic light-like poles, not described by hydrodynamics. There are, of course, also these very problematic poles in upper and lower half planes. And we also computed eta over S and observed that it's one over pi, no over prime corrections to this volume.